no good bitch. I hope you drown in own vomit.
Fuck you. I stab you now.
I got you, fucking crazy bitch. Call ambulance.
First, selfie as you bleed.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hands off to Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Did you see that story? Some crazy bitch in Siberia, Olga, got in a drunken brawl with her hubby, or ex-hubby, Oleg, and she shanked him in the gut. Nothing special about that, but once she saw what she had done, does she call for help? Fuck no. She did what any psycho bitch from hell would do. She grabs her phone and snaps some selfies with her bleeding ex-husband. And now, she's an internet star. What's really funny about this story is that people are more outraged by the fact that she took selfies than the fact that she tried to kill the guy. That's where we've devolved to. What you do in real life is unimportant and immaterial. It's how you depict it on social media that counts. Everyone on Earth now has their own public relations flack. Themselves. Maybe funnier than the bloody, look what I just did selfie, is the text that accompanied it.
Guys, I stabbed my ex-husband with knife. I was taken to accident, an emergency for 3 hours.
So much for Obamacare. Emergency room wait times are shorter in fucking Siberia.
And only now have I cleaned up everything. It looks like I am beast.
So what is batshit crazy Olga worried about? Whether ex-hubby survives her stabbing? How it will affect her toddler who was a witness? If the state will take her kid from her? No, none of the above. She's worried about her fucking image. I'll post her image on the show homepage at thatlarryshow.com, and you can feast your eyes on the beast. She's not fueling any wet dreams in Siberia, that's for sure. Once upon a time, only movie stars and politicians had to be concerned about their public. Now everybody, every doctor, lawyer, plumber, bricklayer, and alcoholic Russian psychopath attempted murderess has an image to craft and hone and protect and promote. Also, no matter what you do for a living or what your business, you must have a backstory. This is definitely overspray from moron reality television, right? You might have the greatest product ever, but if you were not raised by a single mom or bullied as a kid or recently buried a close relative, you're not getting a nickel from Mark or Lori or Damon or Robert or Mr. Wonderful. Same thing goes for all those stupid talent shows like The Voice. Now that backstory heartstring gambit has taken root in everyday marketing of commodity businesses like plumbing. There is no quality factor for some guy shoving a snake down a toilet or pipe to dislodge a clump of roots or a gyre of Kotex and flushable wipes that flush okay but clog things before they get to the street sewer. Doesn't matter if the guy running that snake is a 33 IQ and just got off death row, or is a neurosurgeon with a shit fetish. That wad of gunk is going to move either way, and it doesn't care who's doing the job. And neither should you. There's a plumbing chain in Los Angeles. Well, actually, they're all over the whole fucking state. Super Duper Rooter or Squeaky Sneaky Snake or whatever the fuck it's called. And they do these radio commercials that are part of the reason I rarely listen to the radio anymore. First botheration is the owner doing the voiceover. His voice is annoying. His accent is annoying. And he's too fucking cheap to hire a professional announcer. So fuck him and his plumbing company. Also, fuck the owner of Sam Adams and his shitty self-voiced beer commercials. And that jackhole from Motel 6. Don't leave the light on for me, Tom. I'm not staying in any of your flops. But this plumbing asshole gives his vapid backstory, replete with references to his misspent youth as a juvenile delinquent, and, fighting back tears, how his daddy straightened him out and instilled a good work ethic, and now, even though his daddy's passed away, he's a productive citizen. So, won't you please hire him, cause what? He has touched your soul? Yes, Mr. Reformed Criminal, please hurry right over to my home and fix that faucet and tell me more of your difficult childhood. And when you're done, be sure to charge me double the going rate because you're special. A very special plumber. But somebody's buying his line of shit. His ads have been on the radio for years. I wonder how soon other tradesmen and professionals will be jumping on the backstory bandwagon. Forget the biblical prophets. They don't know shit compared to Andy Warhol. Everyone really can be famous for 15 minutes. No talent, no problem. Only one standard is in place. Just be an asshole. Doesn't matter what variety of asshole you are, freakish asshole, tone-deaf asshole, incompetent asshole, dangerous asshole, inarticulate asshole, uninformed asshole, violent asshole, homicidal asshole, or professional asshole. Everyone gets their own channel, and everyone is a star. Talk about inclusive. Unless your politics offend Dorsey or Zuckerberg or Brin or Page, then you're excluded. The celebration of mediocrity is the new normal. But, you know, mediocrity is not the right word. Mediocrity means adequate or ordinary, somewhere in the middle, from the Latin root medi, meaning middle. But I'm talking about the bottom here. There are plenty of good words that capture what's way above mediocrity, right? Supreme and acme and summit and best and ultimate, peerless, matchless. But I cannot find the precise word for the bottom. You could try sleazy, or cheap shit, or low rent, or moronic, but nothing really does it. And here we are, on the brink of a midterm election, and who cannot recognize that we live in neither a republic or a democracy? We live in a mediocrity, right? The politicians have been using the backstory longer than reality television. Abe Lincoln was probably born in a mansion in Newport. But now all of them were born in log cabins or in the inner city and never had a chance. Sure. But again, we need that lower word because how many politicians are even adequate? They're not in the middle, they're in the sub-basement. And they always have been. You watch them with the teleprompter reading cyborgs on any network, and they ask Congressman so-and-so a direct question to which there are only two possible answers.
So, Congressman Swamp Dweller, do you intend to raise or lower taxes?
And you will never, ever get a straight answer. They immediately divert and channel the question into a way to flog their own candidacy. Usually by first stroking the newsreader, right?
Well, that's a good question, Chuck. I'm glad you asked it. In my district, unemployment is down, blah, blah, blah.
And 90 seconds later, the swamp dweller is talking about homelessness or gun control or something totally unrelated to the original question. What every television studio needs is a truth enforcer. What's that? Some heavyweight, or recently retired heavyweight champ, who could knock an ox off its feet with a right cross. This truth enforcer clone would sit just off camera next to the swamp-dwelling politician, and when that politician is asked a direct question, if he or she does not give a direct answer, a 12-ounce Everlast glove rockets into the frame in a blur and connects with said politician's head. If the politician is still conscious, he or she may answer the question again at their peril. Can you imagine how fast truth enforcers would straighten out the mediocrity that is our government? People running for office would be given 3 chances to appear on TV before the election. If they refuse all 3 times, they would automatically forfeit the race. Wait a minute. How did I get here from the Siberian selfie broad? Oh yeah, the bar has been lowered everywhere, and everyone is running their own PR operation. Whether they're in business or not, if it's business promotion, that's one thing. But most of it is pure vanity, right? How many bazillion chicks on Instagram holding up their iPhones doing duck lips? How many dudes flashing their fake Rolex with their foot on the bumper of a Bentley that does not belong to them? People posing in front of Bel Air palaces and so on and so on. And what has happened is they've created their very own digital house of mirrors and echo chambers. In the real world, if you try some fake shit like pretending you live in a mansion or drive a dream, you risk somebody calling you out on your lie. But that risk can pretty much be eliminated with blocks and deletions, right? So there are thousands, now millions of people existing in their own weird digital fantasy worlds where never is heard a discouraging word. Where will all this lead? It's pretty scary. The insulation from authentic human interaction is getting thicker and thicker. In 1981, a marketing guru named Faith Popcorn coined the term cocooning. And I suppose she really was a guru. Her prediction was crazy accurate and preceded the internet by quite a few years. People started spending more and more time at home because there was less and less reason to venture out. But it's gone so far past cocooning, because eventually, caterpillars burst out of the cocoon and spread magnificent wings and fly. But not anymore. This cocooning is permanent. Maybe they should call it tombing or mausoleuming or something. Remember how much fun it was to invite some friends over and watch a movie together? Make the popcorn, smell the popcorn, throw the popcorn, chug the beer down, slam some shots with it, crack wise with your pals, get progressively louder, mock the movie, mock the actors, recite the dialogue, belch, fart, belch, feed the dog some beer, order Chinese on top of the pizza. Those experiences utilized all 5 senses. I have Scarface parties every few years, which I think is the funniest non-comedy ever made. Those parties are always a blast and sometimes get out of hand. One time, a neighbor called the cops. That's how loud and insane it got. What movie streaming app is going to equal that experience? No wonder people are more lonely and angry than ever. Then, stick them in Siberia and, well, suddenly stabbing in a fast selfie seems kind of okay, doesn't it? By the way, I devoted an entire episode to selfies, which are, believe it or not, more likely to get you killed than a swim in shark-infested waters. Check out episode 89, Kill Your Selfie, at thatlarryshow.com. It was one of the most downloaded episodes ever. People are pack animals, same as canines. As we experience less and less real human interaction, what's going to be the byproduct of all this electronic and ersatz socializing? More people are going to snap, like Olga the Siberian, like all the nuts around this country shooting up schools and churches and temples and nightclubs and concerts. There's a pattern to those atrocities that no one ever, ever mentions. They blame them on guns, they blame them on politics, they blame them on everything but the real reason, a reason I will reveal in the next bonus episode, which we'll post tomorrow on Halloween. The whole world is ready to snap, isn't it? We'll look at famous snaps, tragic snaps, and funny snaps. Do you feel ready to snap? If not now, you know you have been before. And if you have been before, you will again. We'll get to the bottom of snaps, and I'll tell you the real reason why those headline-grabbing, horrific snaps happen at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. So what of Olga and ex-hubby Oleg? Well, Oleg survived his injury and is in stable condition, and Olga was arrested on, quote, suspicion of exceeding justifiable self-defense, unquote. Of course, she's been released. This was under the condition that she does not leave her home and continues to take care of the daughter she shares with her ex. Well now, I'm going to make a prediction. When Olga's kid grows up and appears on Shark Tank, she's going to have a way better backstory than the sneaky snake plumber. I wonder what her Shark Tank product will be. How about Kevlar pajamas for current and ex-husbands of psycho bitches? That would close the loop nicely, wouldn't it? By that time, Olga will have gotten another go at Oleg and probably stuck her blade through his aorta. So then the daughter can legitimately tear up and say she was raised by a single mother. Mr. Wonderful will probably get in a bidding war with Mark Cuban over that one. What will she call those PJs? How about passion wear for when romance gets too hot? Who says you can't be sexy and safe? She'll get rich. Sick rich. I better see if I can register passion wear now. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always a kick to be with you. Don't forget to slide over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow for that bonus episode on snaps. There you'll get access to over a dozen other bonus episodes, plus signed books and custom recordings and lots more. Come back and see us for Sinner's Sunday, and happy Halloween. Until next time, take no shit.